savor of death unto death. To men and women who are disobedient, to men and women who respond to Jesus Christ and the gospel in a negative way, the good news of the gospel is from one who was crucified. Did he say from death unto death?
Yes, brother.
Yes. Meaning, for the ungodly, for the disobedient, the good news of the gospel is from one who was crucified and is dead. That is for the ungodly, disobedient. They don't acknowledge in a positive way that Christ is alive. He's not a dead Christ. So from them, it's like the good news is from one who was crucified and is dead. So for them, it is a fragrance of death unto death. It is a fragrance of a dead Christ. With no hope for us. Many ungodly men and women see death as the finality. They claim they believe in God while they are alive, but to be convicted of a life after death, they are not. And for others, Christ is a dead Christ. It is a savior smell of death. That is a crucified dead Christ. So it is death unto death. But for the Christian, the gospel, read the other statement now in the same verse.
And to the other, the savor of life unto life.
That is for the Christian. The gospel for the Christian. Are the good news for the Christian, are the fragrance that the gospel represents for the Christian is life, is from life unto life. That is, from one who is alive, that is, from one who is alive forevermore and will always be alive. From life unto
life.
Unto life. Therefore, those who are saved, the good news, that is the fragrance, as the passage calls it, is from life unto life. To life. I'm hoping one Wednesday night I can have a Bible study discussion on verse 16 and this savior of death unto death and savior of life unto life. The last statement in verse 16. Let us have it.
And who is sufficient for these things?
This is a question. Who is able to live up to the ministry which this awesome truth represents. That is, in effect, Paul's question. Who is, verse 16 finish?
Yes, brother.
17.
For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ.
It would appear as if verse 17 doesn't have any connection to verse 14, 16, 14, 15, and 16. But they are connected. In fact, verse 17 has a direct connection to verse 16 and the question that Paul posed. The question he posed is, who is sufficient for these things? Meaning, what kind of ministry could be adequate for such an awesome task that I have just described? This awesome gospel that is death unto death for some and life unto life for some. Who is able to live up and to match the awesomeness of this gospel? In effect, verse 17 is part of Paul's reply. Because in effect, Paul is replying that our ministry is adequate. When he made the statement that he made in verse 17 about their ministry and the, should I call it the fraudulent ministry of others? The ministry of those who peddle the gospel of Christ? In effect, Paul was answering the question which he posed at the end of 16. Let us look a little more in it. The question would almost imply that no one is adequate. That is in the question. Who is? It's like the Apostle Paul in that question is saying, not many of those who claim to preach and teach Christ are adequate to this task. Then in verse 17, he's telling us at least those, some of those who are not adequate to this task. And that's important here. First, he implies here in very plain terms that they, the apostles and others who preach Christ in its purity, they are adequate. Let us hear verse 17 again.
For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ.
That's right. And all that he's saying there in that last part, that they, the apostles of Christ, are adequate. The answer, the point in verse 17 there is, the boldly stated answer to the question posed in verse 16. That is, only those who preach and teach the pure gospel of Christ, only those who preach and teach the gospel of Christ without human tradition, without human interference with the gospel, without human tradition, and without adulteration. Notice again the word. Just read verse 17 again.
For we are not as many which corrupt.
Stop there. The word corrupt is originally that of a tavern keeper, a rum bar keeper then. But the tavern then specialized in wine. And the word corrupt is coming directly from that consideration. Because the tavern keeper in that time would add a cheaper wine to the more tasty, cured, and expensive wine so as to increase his profit. And the word corrupt is coming directly from that consideration. And what Paul is saying that men and women, whoever they are, who add human tradition to the gospel, they are not adequate to the task. Those who interfere with the pure gospel of Christ, they are not adequate to the task. Those who adulterate or corrupt the gospel of Christ, be it that we take away what we don't like and add what we like, those are not the people who are adequate to the task of making the gospel the power that will condemn the unbelievers and the power that will save the believers. Just wanting to preach or preaching to personally profit from the gospel, becoming a peddler, one who sells things, using the gospel as a commodity to sell, that is preaching and giving people what they like, what is convenient. The passage in verse 17 is saying those cannot live up to the task mentioned in the question asked at the end of verse 16. We must never be peddlers of God's word. We must never use God's word in ways that we are looking how we can make it profit us. Never. We must never compromise the truth of Jesus Christ because we want to please a friend or because we add our takeaway because we want to displease somebody that we don't like. No. The gospel should always be preached in its entirety, in its purity. Only in that way we are going to be those who make the gospel of Jesus Christ life unto life or death unto death. Once we interfere with the purity of the gospel, once we add human tradition, once we adulterate or corrupt the gospel, it matters not what following we have. We would have failed Jesus Christ. We would have given a wrong impression of what the gospel is. So never separate verse 17 from what is said from 14 to 16. Because verse 17, he sat at the cat, answering the question that is asked in verse 16, who is adequate? What ministry is adequate for this awesome divine task of making the gospel life unto life and death unto death? Thank you.